got one person in. So
I need to pick a two.
I only got one.
Fair amount of the end.
No, I don't do that.
Hello.
Of course. They just went back into sessions now that we're here. They just went back in.
Thank you for doing for the best, man.
So if I get any updates, Steve, I'll let you know. But
I couldn't pay my contact just yet.
no, you should, because looks like they're only going to make changes for Newcastle County. Because Sussex County did a decent job, and Kent County is now a pass-through county. So they don't care about it. I don't really care.
Just kidding.
I don't really love the tables as well. They're really long, this baby. Is there normally another one here?
Is there a
Okay.
Never know.
Why are you
talking about
it? The house just now went back to set.
All right. We're getting there.
See you
there. I guess we
can
all good.
That's what it is. They're probably coaching baseball.
Do we have any public comment? Oh, man, I'm good. Going back and forth, please. But there he is.
Oh, there you are.
I found it.
Where is it right there?
I don't know why you're worried about it, Dad.
That was worried about you. I've been controlling this.
Yeah. They were very confident. I was with Charlie. I'm going to text India.
Bob Joe's here. I don't know where she's at right this moment. She's here. Unless she left. She came in. She might have been like, all right, I've had enough, thanks.
In the official house?
That was yeah.
Yep. You go.
That Gordy Meyer is going to be in my report.
Are we liking our new office?
This is expenditure. So,
oh, you haven't even moved in yet.
Nothing
like waiting the last minute, huh?
Yes, sir.
So, we got all this.
We get 90%.
Make it out?
Everything comes from the state.
All right. We get like the big one presidential desk. No?
Yeah, we can sit down with these.
All right. If I have to sign my life away, Marty. We have to vote on this thing. Yeah,
I'm not operating.
All right. I don't find any of that right now.
Okay.
Be a little presumptive.
Not this new show study.
That's not it. No.
Solar
yeah.
Depends on who. General fund.
You don't have like draft a recommendation. I'll just make a suggestion now. Now, I'm debating that though, because there might be some small cost somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Then you'll notify the board.
Yeah. We can do that.
Raising funds are on a field trip. A lot of those funds will come right into this account.
Yeah, that's it. Was my fault. I changed it though.
But in there, like, you know, gold and
gold hammer sales and things like that.
Yeah.
Then they use that money.
That'll come over
trips.
I can do that.
You know what I mean? We're not going to hold up at $800,000 project for 50,
yeah.
But we're going to hold stuff from the 50 if we find out why.
Yep. Give you a little discretion.
A little discretion, you know, but.
This is somewhere that runs on it someplace else.
You guys can look and talk to his town square about the transformer. Maybe you give me a penny. You know, it's just, they're good.
What's that? It's they put multiple ones up there because they get tired of us climbing on chairs to try to fix it. It's something, maybe it's just like a neuter triangle wall stretch right there. I will. I'll now call this meeting of the Smyrna School District Board of Education to order. We're going to begin with the Pledge of Allegiance and a moment of silence led by Mr. Weisenberg.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. The Republic. For which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
Thank you. Do we have any changes to the agenda?
We do not.
All right. Unfortunately, our student board member was unable to be with us this evening, so we're going to skip item 4.1 and we will relist that at our next board meeting. So we'll move on to administrative reports.
Thank you very much. So we're going to have two guest speakers tonight. I'll just review a few things from the past month. So since our last meeting on July 7th, we have had the groundbreaking for our new intermediate school on Radon Chase Road. That was on July 15th. Thanks to everybody who was able to come out. We had representatives from our towns with us, our architects and engineering group, and our administrative team. It is a small little area that we could have people, and then it rained the night before, so Made it a little bit smaller, but our board was able to come out, and it was a great time to just take a few pictures. And there will be a lot of activity coming up on that land very soon. And Mr. Lynn will have some updates on that later on. We are doing a lot of planning. That's what we do. We wrap things up in June, and then in July, we take a deep breath, and then we just start planning for the year. We have a beginning of the year events to kick off the year for the entire staff on August 28th at 8:30 at the Smyrna High School gym. It's not a public event, but we have invited quite a few people, and it will be a lot of fun, I promise. So got to see some kids. We don't always see a lot of kids in the summer because they're doing their own kid thing with their families, but I went to the cheer camp performance, which was great. Summer school graduation. We had 10 graduate this summer, which was, it's always a fun event. You know, they're the kids that pull it out in the end, and then they go on to do hopefully great things. The summer learning program, got to visit there. And again, like I said, we'll have a couple of presentations about camps and summer learning from our supervisors. And we have new teacher orientation starting on Monday. So we will be bringing in all of our new hires and teaching them the Smyrna way, and then taking them on a bus and touring them through our very large geographic district, but giving them a lot of great information. And then, of course, I want to give two reminders to the community that we are open, register now, and we're hiring. So if you want to join our team, get on the website under our careers webpage and take a look at what we have to offer. And I want to welcome Supervisor Courtney Casperson at this time, and then she will be followed up by Supervisor Ryan Buchanan to give you a little bit of information about what we do in the summer here. Thanks.
So, hi, I'm Brady Casperson. I'm one of the supervisors over at Special Services, and one of my highlights really every summer is to run our summer program. So I put together a few pictures that you have to give a full photo credit to for us to be able to come out and get a lot of wonderful pictures this year. So we're really thrilled to have him. I'm just gonna give you some highlights. We actually run three different programs, all kind of in one over the summer. So the first one is really extended school year, or ESY, you might have heard of that. And that's really for students who might be struggling to make progress in their IEP goals, have a lot of needs, and they have specific academic, you know, or related service goals that they're working on. We also have what we call 12-month programming, and that's where parents elect to send their students for programming all 12 months of the year. And that's really for students who qualify under certain categories, and autism is usually the biggest one of that group. And then we also have our early childhood program, which can fall under either of those, but that is probably our fastest growing program. We actually had a lot of two-year-olds come for the first time this year. Which a lot of new little learners coming in the building. So we started 7-7 with 8-5 this year. We had over 160 students. All of us were over at Smyrna Elementary School. Like I said, we worked on a lot of academic goals. We also had all of our related service teams come in for speech and OT. We had some BCBA and RBT support, and then also, of course, our curricular support from Mrs. Gray, specialists. You know, had a lot of fun outside too. And then there were also some special visitors, which, you know, you have to get the work done, but the pictures really are better for our special visitors. So that's really what a lot of the rest of the pictures are from. So Kona Ice comes every year. The kids love it. They get to enjoy a little tropical fun. The petting zoo is always a highlight. We have some barnyard animals come out, some ducks, some mini horses and donkeys and goats. And more pictures of our kiddos. Adaptive PE is run by physical therapist. So she is actually able to create, you see the parachute there, she creates these really cool obstacle courses or different things for our students to get engaged with. She comes once a week. Does the whole gamut for early childhood, well, not as much early childhood, but with our K to 12th grade students. tailors it to what they're working on. So you can see some of our older kids were doing more basketball stuff. They can get some activities in. And then, of course, because Sorrel Elementary was able to host us this year, Rebel Chase was able to come in. And I know he's been doing a lot of extra training. So in addition to just being a friendly face and everything, he was really able to get academic work in the students. He helps them, practice, find his word or that word, or do math work with them. So we're very thankful to Rebel and Stilson for coming in and working with our students once again. So we had a great summer. I did have a list of the people to thank because we have to basically create a whole little school, a little mini school in the summer. So it's a whole big village, starting with HR, getting to make sure we have all of our hiring process in play, the finance team, with payroll, making sure everybody's getting paid, have nutrition, making sure everybody's getting fed, breakfast, and lunch. Our transportation team has to get the buses up and running, buildings and grounds, especially over at Sorrel Elementary. I know we come in phase and you guys are trying to get all your work done, so I really appreciate the work that has been this year. We actually have our building admin come out to support, once a week or for a week in the summer so they can see their kids, meet some new kids, and I think they all had a great time this year. We have a lot of specialists and support staff come out, and then, of course, like I mentioned, our front office staff is not actually safe and busy also. So, big thank you to all of the team that helps out. It was a really great summer. I think we had a lot of visitors come. Come for the day. I think it was a good day.
So the other half, the part that we put on in the curriculum office is our summer camps, something we started, I just looked in 2018 was the first summer that we did it. Obviously we had some time off there around 2020, 2021. But it's a program that's grown. I'll take this time to piggyback on what Courtney just said about the thank you to Kristen and her team, as well as Smyrna Elementary and all those that help us put this on. For my office, I will let you know that Jamie Cox is instrumental in doing this and handling all the camp registration, working with the teachers and ordering supplies and doing all that stuff. And Justin Malin did a great job of facilitating a lot of the day-to-day. But our camp is not the straight time that Courtney's group is there. We did 1 week in June. At the end of June, 1 week at the beginning of July, and 1 week the last week of July. So we spread those out, trying to let families choose times that didn't coincide with their family vacation, so giving them opportunities. But we did offer 30 camps over those 3 weeks, and we had 443 people sign up. Now, I say 443 people. Some of those are the same kid all 3 weeks. I think we had something like 275 unique students, but 443 is our largest we've ever had. Last year we were at 330. The year before that we were at 225. So you can see that we are growing. We do charge for this, but that's because it's a self-sustaining program in which the supplies and the teachers are paid for by the registration. So week one, and this might be hard to see, so maybe I can read it. I tried to mirror some of Ms. Casperson's work, but we had coding and robotics. We had, if you can see the top picture, a volleyball camp. We had diving into kindergarten, which we was so popular, we had made two sections. So that's five-year-olds. They're going to start kindergarten for the first time. And we have a kindergarten teacher come and kind of give them the ropes and teach them how to get ready. And the parents love it. The feedback was overwhelming. Our wait list was off the chart to the point where we get there. Adding as many as we could. We have a Harry Potter camp, which has been a staple. Lauren at middle school does that. Jurassic Jamboree, which was obviously dinosaurs. We have Oceanic Explorers. We have Teatro, Parlante, and Espanol, which is our Spanish immersion camp. We do that every year as well. Storybook STEM is one that we were able to offer twice as well. Dork Diaries was a reading camp, as was Summer Delicious. So Dork Diaries was for our older kids, some of those just for our younger readers. And so some of those pictures you'll see in both of the slides so far, those tie-dye shirts. Campers get those and they wear them just about every day, so it's the staff. Week two, we were able to offer some really fun Taylor Swift camp. Those fill up quickly. We offered another diving into kindergarten. We offered a theater camp, a gardening camp, art camp, a superhero academy. So a lot of options.
We try to play to all the interests. We actually, at the end of each week, try to survey the parents to see what they want to see next year. And that's where a lot of these ideas come from. We also put it out to our staff, who are amazing, teachers, to say, what are you interested in teaching? So it's kind of a passion project for some of them. You know, the art, just because we all are art doesn't mean it's an art teacher, just because someone who's interested in art. You know, we had our art teacher teach some kindergarten class. So the passion of just teaching these kids is great. So you can probably see the Taylor Swift plant camp. That's that glittery one. But also, young man here in a cape and a mask. Well, I guess that's a good camp. But they do a lot of crafts, a lot of reading, really trying to get kids up and moving and doing things. Week three, board game bonanza. We offered a forensic. It's called Cookie Jar Forensics. It's actually a step program that we used some years ago that we repurposed, but it was a really big hit with our older kids. A dance class, wacky weather, space, kitchen chemistry, problem solver. So we give a lot of academic, but also student interests. And again, you can see the kids are having a great time in all of it. One thing I already mentioned is we do give, so at the end of each week, we send the parents all the pictures that we took. Again, huge shout out to Corrine for taking those pictures. So we send a little Flickr account and a survey that says, please tell us your feedback. The big things we really focus on is overall experience. And because we don't have busing, it's all car riders, all those kids. And again, thank you to Sprint Elementary, getting them in and out. We want feedback on how that's going. And we're doing our best. And we're, you know, from start to finish, it's 10 minutes. But if you've been to an elementary school, they start showing up an hour before we're actually doing notices. But you can see the overall experience was great. The drop-off is good. We had a lot. Again, maybe you can't read it from where you are, but most of these are very glowing. Incredible time. They love that we were offering food. They love that they were getting books. The bookmobile did come to the camps as well. But ultimately, everybody wants just more and more. We are 4 days, half days. They're like, can we go full day? Can you make it all the time?
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, we want to make it sustainable, a good product that the teachers are into. But we are definitely open to the feedback. We're getting some camp ideas of Minecraft and other things that they really want. So that's very positive. But ultimately, we had great kids, great parents, wonderful staff. I didn't even mention that we had 25 student volunteers, mostly from the high school and middle school. They sent a request in, and we paired them with an area of interest, like age of interest. They got a lot of feedback, positive. They were able to make connections, and a lot of them really enjoyed it. So the student volunteers were great. And obviously, the families were great to work. So overall, a great experience. We look forward to doing it again next
year. Thank you so much. Both of you, really.
Anybody have any questions on any of
the reports that are listed? All right, seeing none, we're going to bypass executive session at this time. Do we have any formal public comment?
Yeah.
All right, moving on to item 8.1, places and dates for our monthly board meetings. As you guys probably remember, last month we made a little change to our year-long schedule to accommodate some other things going on. So did anybody have any issue with the updated places and dates board meetings?
We're essentially moving on to the second Wednesday of every month, except for the one for Teacher of the Year. Is that right?
And the one because of Easter.
And the one because of Easter.
So April and May are a little good.
So instead of the third Wednesday of each month, we'll have the second Wednesday of each month. Other
I'd entertain a motion.
President, I move to approve item 8.1, places and dates for Smyrna School Board meetings.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? Seeing none, we'll proceed to a vote. Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Mr. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries 5-0. All right, we're going to move on to new business. Item 9.1, approval of board minutes July 7th, 2025.
The President, I move to approve item 9.1, board minutes for July 7th, 2025, as submitted.
Second. A motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll now proceed to vote. Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries unanimously. Item 9.2, approval of monthly financial reports.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 9.2, monthly financial reports as submitted.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, we'll now proceed to vote. Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries unanimously. Item 9.3, school choice 2025-2026 school year.
President, I move to approve item 9.3, school choice 2025-2026 school year as submitted.
Thank
you. We have a motion and a second to accept item 9.3, school choice 2025-2026 school year as submitted. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Ms. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item 9.4, Smyrna High School, Delaware FFA Chapter Officer Leadership Training.
Mr. President, I move to approve 9.4, Smyrna High School, Delaware FFA Chapter Officer Leadership Training as submitted.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on item 9.4?
Yes, sir.
That's funny.
What's it? He was taking every motion.
He doesn't give the new guy a chance, so I
because he was, seeing as we have no discussion, Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Mrs. Wilson?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passed unanimously. Item 9.5, approval of contract with the University of Delaware, CADSR.
Mr. President, I move to approve the contract with the Delaware as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve item 9.5 as submitted. Is there any discussion?
Yes. So I just think that we should probably let the public know exactly what we're talking about. So Ms. Judy, if you could elaborate somewhat on what we are about to vote on.
Sure. About, I would say, Mr. Lloyd's here, I don't know how many years ago now, it's been 15, 20 years since we looked at redistricting for all of our schools, right?
It would go back 20 years.
Yeah. So we think it's responsible for us with a new school that's coming online that we look at our schools and their feeder patterns. So luckily, University of Delaware has a great data analyst who we can work with to look at that, to look at our boundaries, to look at where our population is centered, to look at all kinds of different nuances, like how to route buses best. And so this is an exercise. It's not a guarantee. We will be offered multiple different plans and projects, but we are going to, with the vote tonight, we can move forward with that and see what the data analysis looks like and what they bring to the bring to us as a board, and then we can make any recommendations that we would like based on that information.
I appreciate you bringing this to us, with us building these new schools, with having, now we're going to have two middle schools, and the intermediate school being built, and the developments that we've had built since the last study was done. And on top of that, the developments that are in the very near future within the town of Smyrna and within the Smyrna School District as a whole, I think this is definitely something that we should look at and make sure that we are prepared for that. And logistically can do it, because we are the second largest school district in a square mile based state of Delaware. So we need to make sure we're logistically prepared for that. So I appreciate you bringing this to our attention and us doing this.
Yeah, and it's going to be way better to get this done now than it's going to be to put kids in a building as we're opening these new buildings and new additions and then moving around a year later. So
yeah.
I appreciate it as well. And
hopefully we can.
Scott and I have met with the data analyst, and we're very impressed with his understanding and knowledge of school districts and districting and how to then think about how to message that to people. So, you know, you don't always get that with data people, but he did offer that.
Well, it's also nice that, you know, University of Delaware has an in-state option for us. We don't have to go, you know, hunt down a group to do this. You know, they've done it for other districts. They've done it for us in the past. So it is a nice option to be able to stay close to home on that. So
I like that they've given us the timelines with multiple draft options. So it allows us to take a look at it and then, you know, give feedback on changes, how we think it might make it better.
And we provide a lot of information to them based on like how we want the schools to be set up, what it looks like now. They go into the student portal, the Infinite Campus, and pull information utilizing our data managers here. And then with the help of the towns, we can offer him additional information about where there are new developments and what that may look like in the future. So it's going to be a nice interactive process.
Yeah, so we should have the final draft by April 3rd, 2026 for what this is, which is, I think, is really cool. And just for everyone's awareness, $11,660.05. While that is, you know, something that we need to, we're always cognizant of how much the Smyrna School District spends on everything. I think that's a very reasonable cost for how much work this is going to entail. Yeah.
I'd entertain a motion on the University of Delaware contract.
You already have it.
Oh, we already have it. Awesome. There you go. See, I lost track of there's no further discussion. We'll go ahead and vote. Mr. Skuse?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberg?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries 5-0. Item 9.7, impact fee. Oh, I'm sorry. 9.6, solar project.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 9.6, solar project contingent that the cost to the Smyrna School District does not exceed $15,000 and that Energize Delaware pays Solair directly.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
So this is just to apply for the grant?
No, we've already been accepted. This is the quote that we received from Solair to do the project at the high school, which would essentially be solar panel on the back side of the front section. And it would also be solar panels that'll cover the sidewalk going in from the Clayton side and covering an area that would be an outdoor classroom. So we're kind of trying to kill two birds with one stone kind of thing by giving a covering for that sidewalk to get in the school, as well as having a roof for an outdoor classroom. The project in total is $799,000. Energize Delaware has agreed to pay for that 100%. So there will be no cost to the school district. And the reason, for everyone's knowledge, the reason that I made the motion with $15,000, there could be some small costs with getting the power or transformer to that spot. But
the internet line,
little things like that very well could be. But in my personal opinion, that's why I made the motion that way, is if it's going to cost us $15,000 or less to put in $800,000 worth of solar panels that are going to save us an extraordinary amount of money over time, I think it's more than worth it. And we've also want to make sure that Energize Delaware is going to pay Solair directly, so that we don't have to worry about our finance department or anyone having, there are different rules when it comes to us paying someone than anybody else. So that's why that's
share with all two estimated timeline. Have we learned that yet?
Or we don't have an estimated timeline. The ones on the back of the roof, they could start tomorrow. The problem is they don't want to order the metal that it will take for the ones over the sidewalk and over the classroom until we have a signed contract with them, which is fair. So we don't have a timeline on when that's going to take. That could take longer, unfortunately. But the ones on the back of that roof, they could start almost immediately.
And we'll get a more timeline once we
officially formally sign into this contract.
Yeah, so we have to, I think tomorrow, Mrs. Schutte has scheduled a, they have, part of this grant is doing an energy audit, and I think that's scheduled for tomorrow for them to do an on-site visit to look at our energy usage and give us other recommendations on how we can conserve energy as well.
It's also an interactive process with our kids, so our CTE programs are about four or five that I could think off the top of my head when we met that would benefit from seeing this from start to finish.
I know. My time before I got on board, I know you kind of took lead in this, so I appreciate it also that this is kind of going to be a realization here soon. So.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. I think it could save us a lot of money.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll now proceed to vote. Mr. Skuse.
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberg.
Aye.
Dr. Mrs. Weber.
Aye.
Dr. Wilson.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries 5-0. Item 9.7, impact fee statement from the board. I'll jump on this one. So what I'd like to do is have a conversation briefly about voting to send it, you know, to authorize a statement to come from the board, depending on the outcome of what the town decides to do next week, right? So we have to vote on it, on sending the statement for it to come from the entirety of the board. If we vote, if we choose not to vote on it, it can only come from individualized board members. As of this minute, I do not know. I don't even want to wager a guess on which way the town's going to go. I do feel like they're doing their due diligence and trying to give an honest assessment of whether they can or cannot continue to collect our impact fees. Jim's put some effort into kind of looking into it and then has kind of had a pause point until we get more info from the town. So like I said, I don't know which ways that's going to go. But if somebody would like, I would love a motion to send that impact fee, you know, statement out once we know which way it goes. Obviously, get something tightened up. We'll send it out to you guys, everybody. Kind of.
That's a statement that's going to go to the public, or
be a statement from the board, you know, in response to,
okay,
you know, essentially what the next steps could be moving forward, you know, but it's if it doesn't go the way we had hoped after the effort we put in over the last year, it's going to be potentially could be a significant financial burden to the taxpayers in the town of Smyrna if we ever have to build another building. So
can you expand a little bit more when that decision from this town is coming?
Next Monday, the 18th. So they put a 30-day moratorium on all impact fees at their last meeting, until they could collect more information. So the only meeting they have left within that 30-day window, unless they call a special meeting, would be next Monday, the 18th. So, you know, hopefully they get good news and we get good news. But I don't really know which way it's going to go. You know, it's going to come down to somebody's legal opinion of one or two words. And
you know, the baseline impact fee before, and then we're proposing an increase. Is the baseline on the table too?
It's all on. So essentially, it's going to be an all or nothing deal, Charlie. Either we're going to get the new approved impact fees that they approved this spring, or it sounds like we're going to not get any more impact fees from the town of Smyrna.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
So
should be some compromise. There's no,
well, and again, it comes down to the legal interpretation of a couple words in the town charter, and hopefully, even if it goes against us, we can, you know, they'd be willing to entertain a charter change. There's other options here that aren't immediate, but
so I can give my personal opinion on this, so everybody in the room can get it as well. We've had impact fees since I think 2000 or so with the town of Smyrna, 2000 or 2001, somewhere in that range. We did a study, we commissioned Tisler Bice, who does this nationally, to do an impact fee study for the Smyrna School District to see how much impact a new home that is newly constructed within the Smyrna School District how much that then cost the Smyrna School District by the facilities that then have to be built because of that new construction. So Tisler Vice came back and they gave us their recommendation. We took that to the town of Smyrna and asked them to raise their impact fees to what Tisler Vice said the impact was. The town of Smyrna graciously did that. And then a month ago, maybe, or so, somewhere around that time, the town of Smyrna received a letter from some of the developers within the state of Delaware and within this district to say that they had issue with the impact fees and that from their legal opinion from that the impact fees were illegal. They could not impose those impact fees. So the town of Smyrna then put a pause on all impact fees for the school district until they could have their legal team investigate whether or not and give them a recommendation on whether impact fees are legal or not. And so that, from my perspective, that's where we are today. And you're asking, Mr. President, for when, if it happens on the 18th, there needs to be some sort of voice from the school districts or the Smyrna School Board's perspective that would say whether we agree with that or not, their decision, whether we agree with it or not. And you're asking for us to allow you the opportunity to write it from the whole Smyrna School Board instead of just yourself. If we don't vote on from yourself, you can't speak for the whole board. If we vote and approve this, you can speak for the whole board.
Correct. And I do greatly appreciate you guys. I sent an email to all the town council members, and I wasn't able to come, but I really do appreciate you all going to that last meeting where they put the moratorium on. I think it's impactful that they see us, they hear from us. You know, and I really think the fact that they're doing their due diligence speaks to their yeah. want to help us. And we'll just, you know, we're going to have to see if they have the ability to, and then, you know, what steps, you know, what steps are, you know, we have moving forward, depending on what they do.
Yeah.
But I think the town is better when we all work together. Right.
Yeah.
I think, you know, for the constituents, for the district, for the town itself, all that. And I'm really hopeful that no matter the immediate outcome that we will reach a path forward. But I think that, you know, we need to be able to have a voice on this. And since without reconvening to take a vote on this on Tuesday or Wednesday or something, this would allow us to have a voice collectively instead of individually on this matter.
Yeah. I also think it's funny. I'm sorry, it's not funny. It's ironic that one of the builders that was part of the letter that was sent, and we were also, our council was also CC'd on that. One of the builders that was part of that, had objection to the land cost that was used in the formula to come up with the impact fee when he is the one that came up with the cost of the land because he's the one that sold it to us. Anyway, that's, I digress. Mr. President, I move to approve item 9.7 impact fee statement from the board as submitted.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Skews, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberg?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Item 9.8, change order, North Smyrna Elementary School.
Can you speak to it? All right. I'm going to show a couple videos later on the year, but slides later. The original plan called for the sidewalk to be there next to the driving lane, and then a sidewalk going to the kitchen area delivered. There was going to be grass in between. And when I was made aware of that and people saw the plan, they advised me that there had been issues in the past where with the construction and many grandparents or parents parking in the municipal park, walking across the street, and then releasing the kids to come in the entrance there by the cafeteria, they created a trail across the grass that was there. It became muddy, and a few people fell. One grandparent was injured, and Dick took it upon himself to put a sidewalk from the triangular area, which I'll show later, over towards the door by the kitchen. And when we saw the grass again, we foresaw that was a problem. I reached out and talked to Dr. Augustus, who was there and experienced the issues last year, the year before. And we talked to the architect. They got a price from the concrete people to try to put in how many square feet of this concrete, 6 inches thick, reinforced, and eliminate the grass area so we don't have the issue of people turning it into mud. So where people come out to be picked up, there's going to be a line of students getting into cars, but then if grandparents come, students can walk across the concrete and get to their grandparents by the flag pole and that type of thing. So it was going to be a safety issue, and for the cost, we talked to Daniel. He got some comparative costs, and he said the cost is reasonable. It's within a couple $1,000 of what his estimators came up with to do it, and thought that because of the timing issue, we needed to go ahead and move on it. So it was a quick turnaround, and they may be actually pouring that area tomorrow, provided it gets approved tonight. So,
Mr. Lloyd, this keeps us still well with our Mr. Gott, well within our budget.
Oh, yes.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 9.8, change order for North Smyrna Elementary as submitted.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All right, I got a little bit. This just seems astronomically expensive. I mean, you're looking at $200 a square foot for non-load-bearing concrete. I mean, we're planning on driving dump trucks on this concrete. I mean, we don't need 6 inches of concrete. It seems a little outlandish. And this is no disrespect to you, Mr. Lloyd. This is the quote they gave you. I agree. It's a muddy mess there. It just seems like a lot of money and a little bit overkill to solve a problem that I understand it's muddy and we're dragging it into school and it's extra on the custodians and all that. I'm curious why we're pouring 6-inch reinforced concrete for people to walk on.
It's to match up to what is going to be the sidewalk.
Right, but you can grade underneath that concrete any way you want.
And, well, they wanted to make it a level surface all the way across and for deliveries and things like that. So that is what they determined that they thought that they would need. Plus, it's going to be 6 inches going into the school from where the drop-off is, where the new canopy is being put in. So they're just trying to make it all level with that what was there. The pricing to me also, and Commonwealth Construction went back and priced it. And as I said, Wade and Daniel priced it, and they said that the quote was a couple $1,000s high compared to what they came up with. But for the square footage, the work, the concrete, everything that goes into it, they said that they felt that it was reasonable at this point.
So I think you have to take into account what prevailing wages. I mean, essentially, I agree if you and I went and wanted to pour this concrete.
No, we can do it for $2,000. I'm not even talking about that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying $200 a square foot, even on prevailing wages. Maybe. If all the concrete poured over there was $200 a square foot, you know what I mean? Like, that's not competitive to the pricing we've already got for concrete. They're already pouring concrete there. It's not like we're bringing a crew in and they're hauling equipment in and all that, right? Like, all they're going to do is when they're pouring other concrete is pour some more concrete. There's nothing special here that would make the price, in my opinion,
right,
jump to that next level. You know, if they were off-site and we decided a year from now, man, we'd really like concrete here, this is the kind of quote I would expect, right? We got to haul material in. We got to bring guys in. Coming off another job, you know, this seems like a makeup quote, not a, hey, we're already here and yeah, we'd love to help you out quote. Again, I'm speaking solely for myself.
That is where the $2,000 extra that he came in. But as I said, we have 200 people that priced it and so forth. And with the prevailing wage, as Mr. Skew said, that's where it came out.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the wage that we're.
Oh, I see it.
I mean, it's mm-hmm. pretty good chunk, and they give you the rate per hour. And I mean, we don't have a choice. They don't have a choice in paying that or not, right?
Correct.
The law.
The only people that have a choice in that are doing something today in Denver.
Later.
Well, I will show you some pictures later.
What did area we had problems with before? I mean, before they ever started construction, we had 2 years ago, we had a conversation about we need to do something with this area. You know.
I don't think that's the concern of yours.
No, the concern is it just feels, it's not to do it. Like, it makes complete sense. It just feels like.
Yeah, and our team said.
They're not doing us any favors.
I would agree, but it was the timing of everything that we made a rush.
Yep.
And trying to do it while they're ringing or the other.
Oh, yeah, it's not going to get cheaper if we say no now and tell them to come back later. That's for sure.
And our team said, oh, well, we could come back after. I'm like, no, because we need
it'll to never be another right. If we do it right. But if we do it now, it's going to be a seamless pour versus a piece pour.
Little hodgepodge, yeah.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Skews, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
I'm going to vote no, just so my objections noted. But since I know the outcome of the vote, motion carries 4-1. All right. Moving on to Section 10, Board Policies 10.1, Policy 1330, Use, Control, and Management of District Facilities, Second Reading.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 10.1, policy 1330, use control and management of district facilities at the second and final reading as
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Mrs. Cook, thank you for making those changes that we discussed last meeting. And also thank you for sending that to us in a way where it was easy to dissect the changes we had since. From last meeting, it's so much cleaner that way.
It's such appreciated when it's written in a way that we don't have to like hold the old documents, the new document. We know it's being changed, it's just easier to read.
Yeah.
Nice.
Any other discussion?
As a new guy, I will, because and we can talk furthermore, maybe I guess to educate me or something, but none of these policies are secret to the public, correct? So I want to be sure that we're continuing if we haven't done it, or I think there's been, I've learned a little bit of miscommunication on ensuring that every one of these policies was available for the public to view before we vote on them. And when I logged in.
So they're not policies. So,
but they should still be able to see what we're voting on, and if they are not official. It's common sense to me that they're not official to be make them official, but
So yes, and I'm sure there's a way to do it, but like if you look up policy 1330 on our website, it's going to be whatever it was before, right, before we made these changes. So like if you go on our website, until we vote, the website under policies is not going to be updated.
I agree, but I think we should be able to, the general public should still be seeing what we're going to change.
Well, they can they see this on
no.
the, on
no.
Okay.
And that's my concern is that as long as it's not secret, which I'm learning what can, obviously personnel matters, this and that, but I logged in, for example, I logged in as a general public user today, and I couldn't see any of this.
Did you see it in the minutes? No.
Once the minutes have been voted on.
Right, but the minutes, because we're doing a first and second reading, so essentially the minutes go live the same time the policy does if we vote yes.
Yes.
So I just like to make sure with all of these policies,
that's a fair point.
And we're going back to...
Yeah.
If I have the opportunity to go back to the reports, they're not on there, are they?
They're in the minutes.
They're in the minutes once it.
You're talking about before the meeting for the public to look at before the meeting. I think your point is valid.
I think if there's any document that the public's entitled to see that's not secret that we're going to act on, review, discuss, because I think that's where on this policy, for example. if I'm a parent and I see this policy and I have a problem with this policy, I'm going to make my notification to come to the formal comment and say, hey, I see you getting ready to vote on 10.1. You know, I think it's absurd. Okay, thanks for your opinion. I mean, obviously, we're going to take every butt. So, you know what I'm getting at? That's all. I mean,
no, and it's a valid point. And I will say, and this is a fault of mine, I couldn't tell you the last time I tried to log in without being on the authorized side, right?
Yeah,
like,
and I would.
When I type it into my computer, it's like, would you like to log in? Yes, I would. Yeah. And, you know,
those last 6-7 months before I decided to run, I was like, all right, I'm going to this meeting, but when I get here, there's 20 things, and I'm like, oh, where's all this at? But so, I mean, just while we had it, before we go on with the rest of these and all that stuff. So,
I would like to get a legal opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah. So how about we, you talk to Jim, and, you know, maybe we can craft some guidelines that we could vote on next month once we get a legal opinion. That sound good? I mean, everybody kind of want
to
go.
Yeah, because these are, some of these you're definitely going to be able to do it, in my opinion. Some of these you're definitely not going to be able to do.
Correct.
Making sure that everybody is clear when they post something to our agenda, what can be public content, what has to stay administrative.
And we don't want to inadvertently jam anybody up.
Correct.
And everything can be labeled, you know, that water print or that watermark draft.
Yeah.
I mean, until, I mean, so.
Yep.
Yeah, I will get that and I'll share.
Any further discussion on item 10.1?
I don't know.
Seeing none, Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberg?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Item passes unanimously. Item 10.2, policy 4131, Teacher of the Year selection, first reading, revision.
Mr. President, I'd like to move, as long as I can do it correctly, to approve item 10.2, 10.3, and 10.4 as submitted. Whether it's for the first reading or you have to do final, but if it's just for the first reading, approve as submitted.
Second.
All right. I have a motion and a second to approve on its first reading items 10.2, 10.3, 10.4, which would be the Teacher of the Year selection policy, the Educational Support Professional selection policy, and the Behavioral Health Professional policy for the years. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, that one, I just kind of took on that one because I did reach out to Ms. Judy today and I saw their minor changes to the existing policy, kind of clerical errors, this and that, but I had a problem when I saw the thing about once you win State Teacher of the Year, you can never, ever win it again.
But that's the state.
Oh, I know, and Ms. Judy kind of explained it and all that stuff, but then and she pointed me in your direction initially. But I just find that absurd. I was voted the best fireman more than once, and I think if teachers deserve it, so neither here nor there, we can't control what state guides, but I definitely would love to reach out to Dr. Gus at some point and even pursue that, because I just feel like 10 years from now, if Ms. Jenkins wins it, and 10 years from now, she's deserving to win it again, why shouldn't she? But anyways, that's just kind of why I wanted to do that. So
a couple of things in this that I picked up. In the Teacher of the Year one, it says we're going to have the last three Teachers of the Year on the thing. It doesn't allow for any alternatives. I think we ought to do some language in there, because with the turnover rate in the state on teachers, there's no guarantee we're going to have the last three Teachers of the Year working here when we get to year four. We hope they all work here forever and retire here. But again, I think
kind of putting in there if they're available, if they're still here.
You know, or maybe you can pick a building level Teacher of the Year if you need to fill a slot, you know, but there's no allowance for filling a slot. So maybe, you know, even if it's, you know, superintendent's discretion to fill, you know, but I think we should craft some language into that. And this is just my personal opinion. I don't know that the superintendent should sit on these three committees. Just because you know how people are, you know, oh, that person won because this person was on the committee, yada, 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 yada. I mean, we all know how that goes, and I would leave it up to everybody else. It just was a thought. Think about it, and we can, you know, we can talk about it on the second reading next month, but
it does identify or Or
I think you should just have a superintendent designate.
Yeah, that's fine. And I actually was the designee as the assistant superintendent for the superintendent. But that person, that role is not a scoring role in any way. It's just bringing the committee together, giving them. Yeah, it's not. Well, it hasn't been. So we can adjust that.
All right.
So I have not scored.
The guide that they published, that kind of outlined it there as well.
It scratches out superintendent and it puts curriculum.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That one does. The other two didn't. Sorry.
Change that. But we can craft some language in there that just makes that clear. Is Mr. Buchanan, have you been scoring?
Or the teacher?
The teacher, yes, okay. So we'll look at that, and I'll send some thoughts on that. But as the chair of the committee, as the assistant superintendent, I did not score.
Well, then it's irrelevant. You don't have to worry about them.
But we can look at it anyway and just make sure it's clarified in case someone else reads it 20 years from now.
Mm-hmm. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Mrs. Wagler?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. All right, moving on to policy 10.5, 4238, certification and credentials, second reading.
Mr. President, I move to approve 10.5 policy 4238, certification and credentials, with second and final reading.
Second.
A motion and a second to accept item 10.5 as second and final reading. Any discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberg?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Item 10.6, policy 5100.1, student code of conduct, elementary, first reading revision.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 10.6, policy 5100.1, 10.7, policy 5100.2, and 10.8, policy 5100.3 for the student code of conducts as their first and final reading as submitted.
A motion and a second to accept item 10.6, 10.7, 10.8, student codes of conduct as their first and final reading.
This goes back kind of where I went to earlier, just so sure anybody's familiar with it. Correct me if I'm wrong, too. That's just the cell phone and the personal electronic devices. Some legal wording that we had to add in there based on the personal electronic devices. So that was the only change in provision to these code of conduct.
Yep. So we voted on, obviously, well, you voted on it once. The rest of us voted on it twice. We like to do this code of conduct in their entirety over two readings, you know, and all that. This is so the state passed after we had our cell phone policy in place. The state's now mandating a cell phone policy for everybody, every district. And we had to change a little bit of verbiage, little tweak stars, nothing structural, just some verbiage. And by tweaking it to make ourselves state compliant, the wording didn't match the new code of conduct. So we kind of just had to go in there. And that was all that was in it. And if somebody called something else.
We have a separate electronic device policy that we put in place last year. And like they were talking about, the state then passed the law. We just also wanted to make sure that our code of conduct, the wording in our code of conduct, matched our electronic device coding. It's literally changing one word in the code of conduct. We already went through the code of conduct twice this summer to have a first and second reading so that the public could clearly see it.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberger?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries 5-0. Item 10.9, policy 5105, personal electronic device, first reading.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 10.9, policy 5105, personal electronic device, as its first and final reading.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
Yes. This one is, again, same, hasn't changed the mindset or the intent of the policy, just changed some wording to make sure that we abide by state law that was just passed and put into effect. We still want all the teachers and all the principals to take away any cell phones that are being used during instructional periods.
Yeah, I don't think we've wavered on that at all, but the way they wrote the law, they had to change a little bit of language in ours so that way we're compliant, and it's not due, I don't think, till January 1st, but why? No?
September.
September, was it? All right.
No, August 1st. August 1st. But
ours is posted.
Yeah, ours is posted.
We just made a slight change just to make sure that the word under someone.
But when they amended it, really? Anyway, neither here nor there. We're covered. Any further discussion?
Send the update.
Seeing none, Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisenberg?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Carries unanimously. All right, we're going to move into Section 11, discussion. Item 11.1, construction.
Good evening, everyone. Construction is moving in all different directions, but it's moving well. First item I just want to mention is the rocks from CIS will be moved from CIS and installed at Clayton Elementary School. Okay, so we have the playground equipment guy. He's doing as a two-part quote in the sense that construction is going to cover the removal, and then we're going to cover the installation. Before he does it, he has to install the concrete for footers for the bases that's going to hold the rocks. So, but I got an email from him today. I told him. He said that he hopes to have it done, completed at CI, yeah, it's Plains Elementary, by the week of August 23rd. So that's good. Also, the same gentleman is working on securing mulch for all of our elementaries and JVN. So we're looking for like 100 cubic yards of mulch at each of the four elementary schools, the playground to freshen them up, and I think 50 cubic yards for JVN. So that's part of it. Okay. The construction at CIS had less to do with the existing building and more as an addition. So that's not been real challenging. CIS is on schedule to be completed in December, but the board is going to need to think about some additional things, such as scoreboard for the gym for when it becomes the middle school, possible scoreboard for the football field, soccer field, field hockey field outside. I don't know. We don't currently have a scoreboard, I think, for our middle school softball. So I don't know what that is, but that's the board's going to have to be, you know, look at those possibilities. Also, the Clayton Intermediate School has requested that they secure a new digital sign out front so that they are the same as the current middle school, the high school. And we just got a digital sign at North Elementary, so they would like to have that. So those are not currently in the project, but we need to talk about that with our money that we may have extra after construction, because we're on budget and we're good with everything there. North Elementary is the most major emphasis is getting the existing school ready for the teachers to come back and the students to come back at the end of August, beginning of September. There are going to be some pictures I'm going to talk about here momentarily, but the construction of the addition is going on, but the major emphasis and the work that's going on rapidly right now is in the old building to try to get it ready. And from yesterday to today, there were a lot of changes. So if we look up here, all right, where the old parking lot was, okay, that and the later slide was all surfaced today with blacktop. So the base coat was put on, like 6 inches of base coat was put down. Then they're going to come back and put 2 inches of top coat on here. And it goes out to the V here. So all this area up to there, just about the front of the new addition, is going to have new blacktop. They have a base coat in the back, but they're not going to top coat that until they're done with the construction of that. On Tuesday the 19th, this area will be lined for the teachers. And we did pick up, I think, 10 spots right over here, up so there's a bump out. So we have 10 more spots for our staff, try to make sure we have adequate parking for them when they come back. I spoke to the principal today on the 18th and 19th. The new teacher training should be at another site, possibly for high school or somewhere. And anybody that is for returning staff that wants to come in, we're going to ask them to park up front on the 19th so that the striping can be done. All right. Obviously, you're going to talk about the naming of the school over here for the intermediate school, but the signs out here, the marquee out front, is what they would like to make as a digital sign. And we're going to look to see if that's going to be capable or what has to be done. And I know that Bar Y today was saying, if we're going to be putting any scoreboards out here, they would like to try to run the electric that is needed or required or data for that before they finish up. They plan to be finished probably by December for their work. So we'll definitely be fine for next year at the intermediate school. Okay, let's look at a couple slides. Okay, this area here, there's a sidewalk that was planned along here, a new canopy here, and then they were going to have the delivery guy come up here, go down here, and go in. And it was going to be hard for him if he had a big hand truck or whatever that was heavy, be trying to make turns to get in there. And obviously, we had a sidewalk that went from the curb to that door to deliver. And this is where the kids will come across and create that track through the grass and mud. So that's what we're going to show you in a minute. This is the picture of Clayton Intermediate. This is one of the classrooms on the first floor, and they did it on the second floor, where they took out the doorway and they're making it connect from the hallway to the new wing. So they're working on that. They will secure this area, so the kids can't get in this area. We go to the next one, please. Okay, we had a couple of workers who wanted to show what they were doing. And this is going to be the entrance and exit to the stairwell to get to the second floor. So where we were just looking here for this doorway, it's going to be blocked off while they continue construction, but this will be finished so that kids can go first or second. Okay. Again, as we go into this old classroom, it goes in, there's some mechanical work in here, and it turns and goes right, and then we'll go over into the new circular area that is going to be office space in the new section. Okay. Next, please. All right, this is the area we're talking. The sidewalk was here, and it was going to go up and then come back across just to here. And you can see what they had. Part of the toss was to regrade, take out the what's in there, and try to come over to the area that comes up in the next slide. I'll show you that one. That will match up on the angle to the corner of them right out here past the flagpole and water pipe. Hey, this was a picture just trying to show you the blacktop that was being put down yesterday morning. They put blacktop down yesterday. Even from yesterday, they finished up the whole park here. Okay, again, next one. Okay, so you can see more and more of the parking lot was getting done yesterday. And then they finished this up late yesterday afternoon. And then they did their entrance, construction entrance, over here today and finished up matching it to where they had cut the blacktop right where the Y was. Okay. The next one, please. All right. So this is the Y we're talking about. When they come in and they go to the right, they loop around and come out. Okay. This was this whole section here that was already concrete. And this is where the kids and the parents and so forth would cut across. So we ended up deciding to just go to the corner of the building, right over to connect to this sidewalk. This was poured today. So they poured this whole sidewalk today and they're preparing to do this tomorrow, the 30th. Okay. Inside, this was yesterday. They were working on some of the units that were put in, new heat and air units that were put in the hallway. They're working on the lighting. They're working on data that runs down there, the emergency lights. They had to move down because these lights, you see, this is what we're talking about, the electric that had to be run. There were seven pipes. Okay, the next one. So this is what we had to run through the hallway. We had to run 6 3-inch pipes, 1 2-inch pipe from the existing mechanical room up and through the hallway all the way to the back of the existing building, in through the connecting hallway to the new addition, and then we'll go into the new mechanical room in the back. So that what will happen is the existing electrical room is going to provide the energy to the new wing also, but the power had to be run back there, and rather than running it on the roof and be charged a large change order, we were able to do this and keep the price down to where we redid the hallways, lowered the ceiling about 8 inches, about one block. And today they were patching all this up with concrete and bricks, so that it seals it off and tries to make it, you know, fireproof in the hall. And this is a continuation of these pipes down by a hallway near the bathroom in the entrance where the canopy is, and these were going to turn in and go through a small office and into the electric room that's there. So today they were able to get all the piping done, and we were putting in the track, ceiling track, down the long window hallway and in the hallway from the office over to the door where the students are dropped off and picked up. So it's taking shape. They were able to do that and get that squared away, patch up these holes and so on. Now, what they have to still do this week is where it comes out by the T, all right, the long hallway where the glass hallway is and the front long hallway, they're going to have to put a box in the ceiling, which will be a junction box for all the electric wires. So it's going to come in from the north side, then it's going to head towards the west, and that junction box hasn't been installed yet. But it's going to be covered by a bulkhead, and I don't know if it's going to be bulkhead all the way, or if it's going to be bulkhead front and back, and then tiled so they have access to the area they need. Okay, next. All right, so again, you can see this is the area I was just talking about right here. So these are coming out from the mechanical room, down the hallway, across the faculty room, and out this where this bulkhead is. And these are the ones that run all the way down the long hallway, the glass hallway, and they're going to put a box in here so these can run into it and those can run into it, and that'll be where their big junction is to run the cables that will connect the front school to the mast. All right? Let's see if we got anything else for that. All right, okay. This goes back to Clayton Intermediate. This is the guys that are working on the bulletproof glass doorway at the front. So what they did, their strategy was to leave the existing doors on the outside and replace the inside door here, the four inside doors here, and the library door there. All right. Over the weekend, they built a wall here, temporary wall, till these guys came back, and then they started putting the storefront on the front. Okay, next one will be the inside. So this is the new bulletproof doorway here, going to the library. These are the new bulletproof doors here, and then to your left will be the new ones that go into the office. So we're in good shape there. They expect to be done with the front doors this week. Ed Stover was talking with Richard White Johnson about using the old doors that we had out of the doors they replaced and put them in the new doors so that they're already pre-keyed, because we had a key meeting this morning also about all the other rooms, but temporarily we're just going to go ahead and put the existing cores we had so that each of these doors will work with their existing keys. So we'll take out the door scheme. All right, next. Okay, so this is from the inside. If you're in by the stairwell inside, you're looking out. Again, you can see that these doors are replaced. They're secure on the inside over here. They're secure in the library there. And this is finishing up that side. The cafeteria is being worked on. So that's still in a construction phase. The metal's all up. They have blocked off where the rounded area of the cafeteria is. They put a wall up to block it off so they can work from the outside. Kids can get there, and CIS will be able to function with the cafeteria the way it is. And once they complete it, then they'll remove the temporary wall, and that'll open up. I think that's it. Oh, one more thing. Okay, this is the gym, and behind this temporary wall, and this will be painted white and so forth, and the contractor owns painting this wall that is part of the remodel. We have asked for a quote to paint the rest of the gym. While they're in there, paint, we don't want to have this, they're real bright, nice, white, and then the other three walls being a drab white that are 12 years old or 13 years old. So we're waiting for a quote for a change order for that to try to spruce that up. If that is going to be done, probably done for Christmas, okay? So it's not a rush on it because they can't really paint this wall until they finish the locker room behind it and then finish the trim around it. So, all right, again. So that's the current construction that's going on. As Ms. Judy said, we did meet today with Richard Y. Johnson about the new Sunnyside Intermediate School. And we have most of the permits that we need for us to start. We were granted a permit for a secondary construction permit. So that construction permit is going to be away from where President Lomuto is going to have to do his entrance, because we didn't want to be using his entrance and use that as an excuse to slow things down. So we're going to have our construction entrance further up. That's been approved by the Department of Transportation. We have our permit from the town of Smyrna. So we're in good shape with that. Richard Wise said that next week they're going to go ahead and put up some barrier around the black silk barrier around. They will not be able to move the trailer on site until they get it from another place. So that'll probably be the week of the 25th or the week after Labor Day. But they'll put a trailer on site. We talked to the town of Smyrna a little bit about getting a temporary electric service so they can hook that up. So in the next month, we should see the trailer there. We should see some dirt starting to move and so forth. There is a concern about the pump station on that adjoining property. It's not at a pump station. It's the pump station that Mr. Ramuna owns, but we're trying to work with the town, with Mr. Ramuna, and with our architects and Richard Wild Johnson to try to have some conversation to see if we can work together to get that done, because it's going to be required to be dug 25 feet deep. And we're afraid a little bit of us starting to put our foundation down and then we dig a 25-foot hole. So I'm going to try to work that out. But there's a lot of site work that can be done ahead of time, and we're working there. So, again, any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Lloyd. Sorry. But, I mean, just the one that you talked about with running those pipes inside the school versus what the contractor wanted to do outside the school. I mean, I'm just taking a guess here. You probably saved us $80,000.
About $75,000.
$5,000 by you doing that, working that out with the contractor instead of what they originally wanted to do.
Well, the architect is pretty assistant, and I didn't think we'd do it up on top just to make it easier for them. And we said we can find room in there, and the $25,000 to adjust the height of the ceiling is a lot less than what they wanted for a change order put up top.
Well, I greatly appreciate, I think we all greatly appreciate you coming out of retirement to help us through these projects. You're invaluable, and that proves it right there.
Well, I think it's going well, and you know, I've created some connections with the furniture people, so we've had a few meetings with the furniture people to try to pick out what they would like to see. They're going to bring some samples down that schools, both North Elementary and CIS, can use and sample those things. Student furniture has changed a little bit, become more modern, and so we're going to try to figure those things out. I've made the connection with the playground people about North Elementary's playground also. on a bigger scale once the other wing gets done.
And Mr. Lloyd, I know Mr. Skuse's comments. I've been touring all the schools kind of as an orientation, everything like that. So I met with Principal Eric Wilson and Tiana Ballett at both schools. I was actually at North this morning, and they both have great reviews on the relationship that you have with the contractors. If you haven't been to North in a while, the staff there has been, they're working in a war zone. I mean, with that piping and everything like that. But Principal Mullen and her staff said that you and all the contractors have been so accommodating and worked well. So, yeah, just passing on that from both Principal and Blake.
I think that there could be a couple hiccups like next week where we're trying to line the parking lot when there might be some staff trying to get in. And, you know, if God forbid we have bad weather or something might push it back to the, you know, the 20th or 21st. But I feel very confident that we're going to be in good shape, you know, come September 2nd.
Yeah, North is going to be down to the wire.
Right, I know. One other thing, just again, pop my. I met this morning at 7 a.m. with a professional cleaning crew that Commonwealth is going to pay to come in and clean up some of their mess.
Yeah.
So they're going to come in. They're going to come in on Thursday and Friday, and they want to work after hours on Thursday. So I talked to Ed Stover, and we're agreeing to let one of the custodians to work overtime, and you know he'll get premium pay for that to work over. So he'll work his normal shift during the day and stay at night also, and be there till possibly 11 or 12 at night to try to be on staff, be there if there's any issues. And we met with Chris today about paying permission. So she had an opportunity to talk to the cleaning crew too to help with the kitchen, because as part of the North construction, a couple of people had gotten into the kitchen when she had cleaned diligently in June, and they had turned the water on, they'd walked in with muddy feet because they were trying to put
I don't know.
So yeah, she told me she was upset.
Bad.
Yeah.
Well, they'll get it right, and if they don't, then they come back and try again.
No, I spoke directly with the cleaner today, and he knows that has to be like hospital level, not just wiping down. And it's in all of my compressors, and dirt. It's they flooded the fish room. I don't know what else to do. The cleaner, I'm very.
I think we're going to do a good job. We were able to get the walk-in back on, so you're going to be ready for your delivery on Tuesday, and they're going to be delivery at CIS on Tuesday. So.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you again, Mr. Lloyd. Does anybody else have any other questions on construction? All right, moving on. Item 12.2. I'm sorry, 11.2, board norms and standards. We probably should have this as a voting item. So any we didn't vote on it last month. We voted on it last year at some point. No.
It was 24.
Because we didn't make any changes. All right. Does anybody have any changes they'd like to see to the board norms and standards? If not, we'll leave them the same. We don't need to vote on them. It's already publicly posted. So
school year 20.
Yeah, I'm gonna
update. We'll have to update the date, but yeah. All right, so that'll get an updated date, and it'll still be available on the board section of the website if anybody would like to see it. All right, 11.3, renaming procedures for CIS.
So I just wanted to go over that process. So we had posted the link for, I got a lot of questions about this. We have a policy and we have a procedure, so we will follow those to make sure that we get input from the community, and we've done that. So those links have been closed out. Then the procedure requires a committee of a few, and we'll put that committee together. There is a breakdown of who, what types of people would be a part of that committee. And we'll take all of the, we'll give you a breakdown of all of the names that were suggested, but then that committee will give you five that were most represented or best represented through that process. And we'll give those to you in September, and then we can put those to vote or not to vote.
So we'll have some kind of reveal coming up here in the next couple months, and hopefully you got your names in, because evidently the time is close.
It's
so
15 days and we left it on for longer.
Thank you everybody that took time to give us names, and
over
thank you
200.
Awesome.
Yes,
yes. And thank you to anybody that ends up serving on this committee between now and September's board meeting. So 11-4, Smyrna School District approved tax rate.
That was just your letter.
Okay, so everybody's fully aware that every school district, rightfully or unrightfully so, in the state has come under fire for the ability to increase taxes post reassessment. Our district made the decision both in 24 and 25 to only take natural growth. We did not take the 10% increase. While it helps in the short term to take the 10%, it did not offset our greater needs of a referendum. We didn't feel at the time that taking a 10% increase that people couldn't have a say in, and then still going out and asking for a referendum, was just or fair. So that was how we've acted up until this point. I put a statement out, a letter out a couple weeks ago. I did not really appreciate the fact that a lot of the articles coming out about the northern districts and the districts in general didn't break down the fact that not everyone took the 10%. We all kind of got lumped together. We spent a fair amount of time. I know that Mr. Gott spent a fair amount of time not knowing exactly what our board would do, creating a vast array of different options so we could look at the end of the day. Like I said, not that the 10% doesn't help, but it didn't solve the greater needs of the district. I'm not speaking for the board. I'm only speaking for myself. A referendum is one of the last true forms of democracy left in Delaware. Every eligible voter gets a say in whether their taxes go up or not, right? There's no other thing like that left in the state. And I think holding on to that is a good thing. And it's an opportunity to really hear from the public, right? Everybody says that they have an opinion, and then we do something and you don't hear from anybody, or you don't. But, you know, during the last couple of referendum cycles, I felt like we got community engagement, and we heard about a lot of things that we were doing well, we could work better on, hadn't even ever thought of, that really didn't have anything to do with the referendum, but were good to know. You know, it seems like one of the most engaging things, whether positively or negatively, with the public that we have. And I thought it was important that, you know, Smyrna was represented in the fact that we didn't do that. And, you know, history can write whether we were right or wrong in that decision. And I don't want to speak for anybody else, but I still believe we made the right decision when we cast those votes in 24 and 25. And I don't know what's going on in Dover right now. So they might, you know, everybody might get another bite at this apple. We might not get any other bite at this apple. I don't really know what's going to happen. I don't think the resounding change that people were screaming for was on the agenda today. But again, that's what we did. History will tell whether we were right or we're wrong, but I think we did the right thing for people we represent. So anybody else got any comments on that? All right. That's the end of discussion. I would entertain a motion going to executive session. What do you want?
No.
All right, we have a motion and a second to enter executive session. When we come back, we will only be voting on the personnel items. No other business will be conducted. Thank you all. You're more than welcome to stay, but you don't have to. So if you don't stay, thanks for coming. If you do stay, we'll see you in 500 to 700 minutes. It won't be 700 minutes. I'm just eating. And Shandy's not here. I should have said something to him. Man, the fact that you got that keys getting computers to stay on now. They used to turn on and touch up like every 3 minutes. So they had to tap. I don't know if anybody else had any personal dogs.
We discussed.
We don't?
We discussed it with Charlie.
Well, Charlie wasn't here. We can come right back out.
Yeah. Nobody knows.
Stay for that anyway.
Well,
did you have something you needed to do other than that?
No, we were ready. We need to give any possible. I'm going to understand this.
I was like, I'm going to call India.
Yeah.
I was subdued, and I just said, we are and have been open every day, leave the park, split it out.
She gets all mad right now.
He doesn't know. this is where your car can drive. That's on a piece of land.
Everybody laughing and stick around?
What are you asking? What are they doing?
Some circus.
He's like watching.
The circus.
The company that owns it.
They try to introduce you. And they're like, the angle for the news. A lot of people are against it.
Thanks.
You got it, sir.
That's right.
So and she had them there an hour before they were supposed to start.
The one you had still in
Go get the governor. I think they're still
the governor's not even here. God bless him.
I got
it.
It's in there for him. I'll get it. Are we recording yet?
Let's get recorded. Come on, we gotta go. Shut my whole thing in.
All right, we're good.
All right, I call the meeting back to order at 9:12 p.m.
Mr. President, I move to approve item 12.1 through 12.11 as submitted.
Well, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Skuse, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Weisberg?
Aye.
Mrs. Weber?
Aye.
Dr. Wilson?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. It's getting all in the end. They got to tell me all this stuff. Does anybody else have any other further business that needs to come before the board? If not, I declare this meeting adjourned at 9:12 p.m.
Yeah, it needs the CD order needs to stay the same.
I got it.
You guys like me over there?
That guy. I've seen him before. He was so mad, and we were all laughing at each other.
I can understand why. Like, seriously, what's going on?
I hope
I don't think he can hear because, like, I can hear you all starting to talk, Christopher. You're like, I move.